Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We will get to the trash of the day here in about 20 minutes. Let's talk a little football with Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He will be broadcasting on the Chiefs Radio Network here on 96.5 The Fan Sunday afternoon in Orchard Park, New York, as the Chiefs take on the Buffalo Bills. Our conversations with Danen Hughes are brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. You've been to Buffalo a few times at this point, both as a player and as a broadcaster now. It feels like, though, you guys are lucking out weather-wise on this one.
Yeah, fortunately for us, November weather in Western New York won't be terrible. So yeah, this seems like an annual occasion. Not just seems like it actually is. And we're actually going back there again next year. So yeah, it's an annual occasion up in Western New York. Not saying it's my favorite place to go, but as long as we come away with the win, I'm cool.
How do you feel about the Chiefs heading into this matchup in Buffalo? I mean, I for the first time in a couple of these regular season games, I think the Chiefs are clearly the better team. That doesn't mean they're going to blow out the Bills, but I think there's a lot of reasons to think the Chiefs are a better football team.
Absolutely. I think if you would have asked that question prior to this three-game homestand, you might have a different answer. Mm-hmm. But based on what we've seen, especially with Rashee Rice back in the fold, I feel like from a regular season standpoint, this might be the most comfortable that we've felt with the Chiefs going up to play the Buffalo Bills in recent years. I mean, where we're playing right now at the clip offensively, defensively, we've cured some things with Harrison Butker and special teams as well. Like, you got to feel good. Now, that doesn't mean that this is a must-win situation. I think it's a more dire win than other years, considering what hole we put ourselves in. Probably the most important matchup regular season between the Bills and the Chiefs that I can remember, because basically this year is different. Every other year it seemed like you were playing them for what seemed to be a number one seed, a bye, home field advantage, et cetera. And now this year with where they've started and obviously where we've started, it's more about positioning and possibly winning your division, at least. Drastically different than what we've experienced in the past.
No, but in a weird way, Danen, I feel like it puts even more pressure on this game, because for the first time in what feels like forever for either team, there's real competition in their divisions. As in, this game could swing whether they win the East or the Chiefs win the West. And so Like, take the one seed out of it for a minute. We can solve that problem when you get to the Colts. But, like, this could have a ramification whether or not these teams actually win their division this year.
Yeah, I think it's important. But I feel like regardless of who wins this game, are we saying that neither team with a loss is going to go to the playoffs?
No.
No, that's my point, is that you're just basically positioning yourself. But I don't feel like the loser of this team is, people are going to feel any different about if they have to travel to Indianapolis, if they have to travel to Pittsburgh or Baltimore, or maybe, you know, heck, maybe even down to Jacksonville, depending on how they turn things around. So I feel good about these teams. It's unfortunate that because of their two losses prior to the bye week and then us starting the season off with the two losses, that it's not necessarily the matchup for a top the AFC conference, but it's still going to be a great game and it's still a great matchup. And it may be a preview of what we may see in the postseason, which we've become accustomed to seeing as well.
The Chiefs are getting the Bills before the trade deadline. So we'll see what the Bills roster looks like and the Chiefs roster looks like after this week. I think I'm looking at the wide receivers there in Buffalo, Dana, and like, I think Khalil Shakir is a very nice wide receiver. Keon Coleman's been disappointing. What do you make of the weapons there in the passing game? And maybe James Cook is part of that as well.
Yeah, very underwhelming. If you look at their wide receiving crew, I think they had high hopes for Keon Coleman, and he just has not materialized into that playmaking receiver. He's kind of – he reminds me of like an A.J. Brown Jr. In some respect. He seems like he's just a straight-line guy. Either it's going to be hitch routes, go routes, or post routes, and they're going to they've tried to utilize his size, but not – to the success level that I think that they would have liked or expected. Khalil Shakir, he's shown his ability to make plays. He's that middle of the field kind of Wes Welker type that's going to catch everything and expose man-to-man coverage. They utilize their tight ends solidly, but it's just not the same as what we had thought coming into the season. Now, their saving grace, as you mentioned, James Cook.
He's good.
His ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and then his rushing ability, that's got to be at the forefront of the focus of Spags in his game plan.
So he's been really good at that, Dana. And I guess what's your fear level over the next 4 weeks? We had pointed out, obviously, they brought back Mike Pinnell. He's good in the run game, so we would assume that that's part of their plan. But the next 4 weeks, whether this holds or not, currently they're facing the NFL's four leading running backs right now. 1, 2, 3, 4 in yardage over the next 4 games between Dobbins, Javonte Williams, and then, of course, the big boy names, you know, and Jonathan Taylor and James Cook. Those guys are all at the top of the league in the NFL. Where do you think the Chiefs' rush defense is? Because they've held down some good running backs this year, but do you think that that's real, I guess, versus like the dam's about to break?
Well, the Chiefs' defense is giving up 100 yards even per game. They're top 11. They're 11th in the NFL right now in rushing defense. And I feel like what we'll see is probably very similar game plans every single week. And when you mix in that bye week, you consider Daniel Jones somewhat of a run threat. I'd probably equate he and Bo Nix, who will face that following week after the bye, as two guys that you have to account for, but both of those guys are drastically different than the combination of James Cook and Josh Allen. And I think that's what makes this game a little bit more unique than those other ones that will come up in this, you know, what, third quarter of the season almost. And we just have to be sound. And I feel like the one game that was kind of the reality check for our rushing defense, strangely enough, was the Jacksonville Jaguars game. If you remember that game, Trevor Lawrence came into the game averaging 2.8 yards per carry. And he absolutely gashed us, extended drives, and then obviously scoring that final touchdown to win the game. And I feel like that was an eye-opener in regards to Spags and this defense, specifically the linebacking core, mirroring, shadowing, not taking anything for granted from the quarterback position and the running abilities of those quarterbacks. Now, we already know what Josh Allen brings to the table. The fact that we'll have to have a measured approach in regards to when we pressure him, very similar to what we saw this past week against Marcus Mariota, where there were times where we weren't really trying to rush him. We were just trying to keep him in the pocket. I feel like that's going to be some aspect of our defensive approach at times, just like we did in the playoffs last year, where there were times where we were comfortable with him sitting in the pocket, and we were just trying to make sure that he didn't exit the pocket and use his legs to get a big gain. And then there were times like the end of the game where we pin our ears back and we went right after him for a sack. So that's where the cat and mouse aspect of the game is. That's where the chess match, I guess you can say, will be with this defense and that potent offense.
We're talking to Danan Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. Going to the Chiefs offense here, we know Isaiah Pacheco did not practice yesterday. The expectation, he's not going to play on Sunday with that knee sprain, and hopefully they get him back in a couple weeks after the bye week. So Kareem Hunt's been so effective in short yardage. I think we all would like to see more Preshard Smith. Do you think that's the plan? Is it going to be just increased touches in the run game for Smith? Is it just going to be way more for Hunt? You know, I guess could Elijah Mitchell be activated? What do you think happens for the backfield heading into this one?
Yeah, I think it's pretty simple. The next man up philosophy, and that next man has been Preshard Smith. And if that next man up philosophy equates to 10 more carries or 10 more touches, whether it's carries or catches, I think at this point, even though he's a seventh round pick, even though he's the third guy on the depth chart, I feel like everybody's comfortable with him filling in. That 1-2-3 punch that we have and we have had has been potent in each role. Now, when you add a little bit more to the plate of one guy, especially a rookie, that's where you're going to wonder, okay, how does he step up? Each game in preparation, he's known he's been the third guy. He's known he's had a specific package that was part of this offense and what he was going to be able to deal with on game day, outside of when we're winning by a lot, which that has helped us often as well over these last 2 weeks. By winning in such decisive fashion, we've been able to get him on the field more. He's been able to run the ball more, which changes the tendencies so that opposing teams have to deal with him not just in a pass-catching way. That has helped him. I'm sure it's helped him with his confidence as well. And now he'll have ample opportunity. I don't think Kareem Hunt is going to be your 25-carry guy because Isaiah Pacheco is out of the lineup. I think it's still going to be a good, healthy mix between each of them.
Danan, how much value is there in the having fun part of it? So Patrick Mahomes had said our record's not as good, but boy, we're having more fun. Travis Kelce on New Heights referenced the fact that the vibes in the locker room in the building are significantly better than last year, despite the fact they were 15-2 and coming off of back-to-back Super Bowl wins. They all seem to agree that it is better to be at the office now than it was at any point last year. And again, last year they were coming off of, they were two-time Super Bowl champions, Danan, in the middle of winning every game they played. So, like, what kind of value do you put in just enjoying the work, I guess?
I think there's a lot to be said about enjoying the game. And when you don't realize, sometimes you don't realize how the pressure is affecting you. And what I mean by that is you consider coming off a two-time winning a Super Bowl and you're going for a third, and you think, in your mind, you think, hey, we're relaxed, we're playing well, but then you realize you're also playing a lot of close games, and you go 11-0 in one-score games. And although you would think, well, that should be fun, in reality, that can actually add to some of the stress and strain because you're playing such close games. And you may not even realize that. So now when you have opened up that gap and you're playing games where you're beating teams 31-0, 28-7, and even in the close games that you're losing, you still feel good about aspects of your team, the exhale happens. And now guys can just relax and play. You have your complete arsenal at your disposal offensively. You haven't sustained any major injuries to anyone that caused you to be in flux just a bit. That all equates to being able to play the game relaxed, and that's what we're seeing as a product on the field. It's unfortunate that we have three losses at this point. Any of those losses could have gone our way had we made one play here or there. There's something to be said about that as well. So I just feel like this team is in a groove. They're comfortable. And when you're comfortable, you're going to play like you're comfortable and you're going to have some fun. And Andy Reid, to me, has been the best coach at allowing guys to play more fluidly, to play more relaxed, and to showcase their personalities on the field. It's tough to do that when you're playing tight game after tight game all the time. So that's going to help us. And even if it doesn't amount to a win this week, I don't think that's going to change the course of where we're going this season.
We've had you on the show for multiple years now, Dana, and you talk all the time about your start with the Chiefs and obviously playing a lot of special teams and making the team and how important that was. What are you seeing from the special teams unit right now? We're going to talk about it in a little bit ourselves, because it feels like every return on kickoffs, there's a holding penalty or something. So what are you seeing there? I know Jack Cochran's been singled out here, but what's going on in the return game?
So, yeah, Jack Cochran definitely has a bullseye on him. I'm sure that opposing special teams coaches or head coaches that are sending film into the league every week prior to our game is probably pointing out something about number 43 and his blocking. It also, but I will say this, the penalties on special teams, and speaking with Dave Tobe, are up around the league as well. So it's not just an issue with us or a challenge with us. It just happens to be that it's one person that seems to get spotlighted. Now, when in the alignment on kickoff return, Jack Cochran is always aligned with the opposing best coverage guy. It just seems to be in that position, that's going to be the best coverage guy. Whether you make an adjustment because of that and move someone else in, that is an option as well. I don't know what kind of adjustment that can be made, but it's difficult. When you think about the dynamic of the dynamic kick return structure, 5 yards apart from each other, they get to see the ball. You don't see the ball. They get to see the ball after engagement, which way it's going. You know which way it's supposed to be drawn up, but they can veer off course. Whether it's Nico Remigio or Breshad Smith back there, they can change the course. And the design, we see this on the offensive line, not to get too football nerdy with you guys, but we see this with the offensive linemen, that if you're blocking based on, in special teams, based on a left side return, you're trying to push the guy where? To the right. If the receiver or the return guy plants his foot and thinks he sees a hole to the right, disengaging with that guy without knowing where the ball is opens up the door for that holding penalty. So it happens around the league. Heck, it happened when I was playing back in the day. It's one of those situations that you have to deal with, but we cannot continue to start with our backs to the goal line because of the kickoff return unit.
Although I was impressed when they had that 13 play, what ended up being a 119-yard drive, Danan, because of penalties on them. Like, you know what? Good to know they still got that in them, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it happens. We just have to be able to bounce back. And the cool thing is that we've shown the ability to do that. Like, we're not allowing the negative play to crush us. I think maybe in the first couple of games of the season, whether it was Juwan Taylor at the offensive line position, it just seems like it was so detrimental to have that penalty whenever it happened. And now we're not necessarily in that position. I mean, they showed that, you know what, okay, if you want us to start with our backs to the goal line, we'll go 14 plays and put points on the board. If you want it to be a situation where it's first and 20, we'll still go and manipulate the ball down the field and get into a position where it's a fourth down and we can possibly go for it. Like, there's a comfort level with this team right now that it doesn't seem like there's any debilitating situation that's going to hurt us. Outside of an interception, a deflected pass, even in those in recent weeks, we've been able to bounce back. So, like, that's where you see the comfort. The comfort isn't in the 119-yard drive that you cap it off with a touchdown. The comfort is in the plays right after something negative happens, and you're showing that you have that ability to get past the adversity.
Danan Hughes, you can listen tonight. Players only, 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. And safe travels up to New York, man.
Appreciate it, fellas. Let's bring home a win.
There you go. Danan Hughes with us here on 96.5 The Fan. He'll be a part of the broadcast crew, of course, Sunday afternoon right here on 96.5 The Fan with Mitch Holthus and Josh Klingler. And when you tune in this Sunday as the Chiefs do take on the Bills here on The Fan, a big thanks to our friends at Yuengling for their support of the Salute to Service Games. Yuengling, a true American lager, saluting those who have served our great country. All right, so this one, a little different today. A little different vibe for Trash of the Day. Yeah. Mark Schlereth.
Not back of car penis surgeries
today? No, not that one today. Okay. This involves Mark Schlereth, obviously former Denver Bronco, does radio in Denver, had been doing some national TV stuff. He was on with Odyssey's betting network, BetMGM network, with Nick Costos.
Okay.
And they were talking about, obviously, the games and stuff, but then at the end, Nick Costos asks Mark Schlereth, basically, like, what's something that just kind of like non-sports that just irritates you? Well, take a listen.
I will say one thing that irritates me is, now I'm telling on myself, people that don't know how to travel. Like, nobody wants to see your feet in flip-flops.
Agreed.
On a plane. Not one person. Nobody wants to see you in a tank top with your armpits hanging out. Not like that. Like, that drives me insane. Have some couth about you, and, you know, dress appropriately. Put on a pair.
Can
of
I
pants,
ask you this?
Put on should, some shoes.
Should the people in flip flops on airplanes, should they be executed?
Jeez.
Oh. Okay.
Well, I don't know about that, but I always pee on the floor to make sure. I've seen people walk in the in socks in the bathroom. I always pee on the floor to make sure if you walk in socks, you're getting urine on your feet.
The final 10 seconds took quite the turn.
Why?
There.
They were just talking about like regular travel stuff, and then all of a sudden he's like, should we kill people for wearing flip-flops? And I pee on the floor to ruin the socks of fellow travelers. Which one's worse? Threatening lives of those in flip-flops, which I'm assuming is a joke by Nick Costos.
Obviously it was.
And I'm not so sure, because that is a very specific example by Mark Schlereth. I don't think he's lying.
No, I don't think he's lying at all.
He sees people in socks. He dribbles a little on the floor in an effort to make people's socks peacock.
I think he's correct, though, on the, you know, that we talk about this on the flight. Like, I don't want the person next to me taking their shoes off and having their legs crossed and their socks showing, like, all, with no shoes, right? Their feet only. Or sandals on the flight. You can wear some shoes and you can keep the shoes on. Also, unless you're going on an international flight, we don't need you. We don't need you. You can handle the 2.5 hours or 2-hour and 45-minute flight where you have your shoes on. If not, wear more comfortable shoes. You know, maybe if the shoes aren't comfortable, find something else. But
even slippers.
I told you the last flight I was on, the person next to me, dress shoes. Okay. So he had his dress socks on, but his feet were just up cross-legged. That's the other thing. If you're going to do that move, the feet have to stay down. They got to stay down on the ground.
Where did he put them up?
Just crossed his legs. So they were just, you know, up in the, like, up.
I see.
You know, which that didn't feel like a comfortable way to sit on a plane either.
I sit with my legs crossed a lot.
So on the plane?
There's
like not enough room.
On the plane, I don't think I do, but just in general. Like, my legs were just crossed.
Really? Okay.
So, like, I sit, like, with a leg crossed.
Interesting.
Not all the time, but a decent amount. So some of it might just be happening. I will say, if I'm on a plane, if there is, or if I'm in an area where, like, let's say with a DMV and there's a bunch of seats. If I cross my legs, I do have the wherewithal, when I'm crossing it, to realize that I should put my knee towards the person and not
the
my foot.
Yeah.
Not the foot. Don't want feet near people.
And then, you know, like what Schlereth said about the floor and the urine. Yeah, that's pretty wild.
The hell, man?
I'm not saying
someone should just wear socks at the airport, but like, you don't have to
miss on purpose.
It's a whole hell of a lot worse if they're pee-covered socks now than before. You've made the situation worse.
Yeah, you can still hit the urinal, please. You know?
That's gross, man.
I mean,
his nickname was Stink, I guess. So.
Yeah.
It's just gross. Yeah. I think he's serious about that. I don't think Costos is serious that we should execute people in flip-flops.
Someone says they kick their shoes off but leave their feet on the floor with socks on. It's not the worst, but it's also not great, I must say. Leave the shoes on if you can, please. Yeah.
Someone says airplane seats are uncomfortable. Oh, Dom over on YouTube says airplane seats are uncomfortable enough. Do what's comfortable. This isn't the 1960s. I don't know, use some like luxury plane travel.
Someone says,
like, it is awfully rich for you to be like, you can't. We all agreed. I didn't sign some pledge to say I got to keep my shoes on. I keep my shoes on. But like, you know
what? You just described,
I just know
though,
the risk I'm taking.
What you just described is so ridiculous. You just said there's not some pledge that I have to basically be respectful of others. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, there's a lot of things you don't have to sign a pledge for.
Is it
for.
Disrespectful to take my shoes off?
I think it's not
being disrespectful to wear flip flops. I'm wearing shoes.
That I think it's not being as courteous to other people, like on the flight. Like, you're right. There is not some on your terms and conditions of your American Airlines flight. It doesn't say shoes have to be on. Right, but it also doesn't say, you know, anything else like courtesy with your coworker. You know, like
it also says don't, you know, like there's no rule that says don't fart. But we hold it in for the plane.
But if you can avoid it in the workplace, you go to the bathroom, right? You don't just say screw it. You know, also doesn't say you have to wear deodorant, but it's kind of nice if you do, you know, self-control and also appreciation of yourself, please.
Yeah. Of fellow humans.
And others.
Again, I keep my shoes on the plane. I'm just, you know, just asking a question.
Drew, are you a flip-flop guy on like, in an airplane?
No.
Okay.
I wear slides on a plane. Like it's, I wear slides.
With socks or no socks?
Yeah, socks.
Same. Oh, it's like no socks. It's the same difference as a flip flop.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's wearing socks, then there's a slight difference.
I'll be honest. I don't get it. Doesn't if you want to wear flip flops on a plane, like I don't care. If you want to wear a tank top,
what'd you make of his tank top comment? That was directed like kind of at you.
Tank top feels like what? I can't exist. Like tank top's different. I'm not. What am I exposing you to? The human body? Like it's not like there's not like a.
I agree with that.
One's crazy. Like, do I also need gloves?
I will say
I don't wear tank tops. Planes typically run cold as far as normally, so I don't wear. I can't tell you the last time I wore a tank top on a plane. I don't think I ever have. I normally wear hoodies on a plane because of the chilliness.
I understand people like, if you're going to a warm weather city. I do think though, if you're on, let's just say a Southwest flight, and so there's three in a row, and the person next to you, I don't care if they're a bigger guy or not or whatever. If they're wearing tank top next to you and like the armpit hair is like hanging out and you're right. I'm sorry. That's gross. And I'm sitting next to you in the plane and like, obviously you're bound to touch a little bit because it's tight. Please have some sleeves.
I just feel like you got to draw a line somewhere of like what I'm allowed to wear in a plane. You can't make like 78 degrees.
Would you rather have a person whose their armpit hair is coming out a little bit, or would you rather have somebody who smells like garbage and they're in a t-shirt and a hoodie?
Well, obviously, the armpit hair.
Exactly.
But
it's
again,
fine.
I don't think we're asking for people just to, you know, again, respect yourself a little bit, please. Anyway.
I have no problem with people wearing a tank top.
I'm with Mark Schlereth.
That was regular clothing, though.
I understand. I'm just saying on an airplane, you know, not everybody is DK Metcalf that's just ripped and everything. Like, there's some people that should not be wearing tank tops as well on said airplane, on said in life in general, I would say.
Yeah, but you do you.
Well, yes.
I'm not here to judge. If you want to wear a tank top,
go for it. You do you. You can not wear deodorant and like you do you, but people are going to judge. Like if you stink it up the place.
That's different to me than a tank top. I think there's a line.
I agree.
Yeah. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs.
I don't go shirtless on a plane. You know, it's not a thing.
That they will not let you on. That one you will run into some trouble. All right, special teams. I asked Dane and Hughes about it. I want to talk more about where they're at, special teams wise, and we'll also get back into this offense and where they stack up over the last couple of years.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Don't forget, tomorrow we will be out at Community America Credit Union in Blue Springs off of I-70 on the Outer Road, 1800 Northwest South Outer Road. For another Red Friday tailgate, going to be a ton of fun. Food truck will be out there. Food for the first 100 folks that stop on by. Chiefs cheerleaders, KC Wolf, Chiefs Rumble. And it's also Halloween, so we'll mix that in as well. You can dress up in your Halloween costume. Cody and I got something planned there as well. Of course, we'll be broadcasting live from 10 to 2. The tailgate is from 11 to 1. We've had last time, as people were wondering, the tailgate itself is from 11 to 1, but we're there. 10 to 2. Chance to win some Chiefs tickets. How about Chiefs Colts tickets? The big ATM.
Pretty big game.
Going to be out there, and it looks like we're going to luck out on the weather too. I think it's like 61 degrees tomorrow, no rain. A little chilly in the for us when we're first there, but by the time the tailgate gets going, all good.
Like it's going to be a nice night of trick-or-treating for my kids tomorrow.
There you go.
You know, I got to be outside.
You're just
that.
Doing the trunk-or-treat around like a certain area?
No, we always go with a friend up near to their parents in like a small lake community in the Northland.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids...
sounds fancy, actually.
His daughter and two kids... cruise around in the golf cart and go door to door. I will say there's one house there. Kudos to this house. They have like 50 pumpkins in their front yard every year that are carved every year. The guy carves them. So it's like 50 jack-o'-lanterns all lit up. This man inside his door has what I would say are like 4, maybe 5 of those like drums that Walter White used to dissolve bodies. So like, you know, 100 grit, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Massive drums. Full of full-size candy. And he'll give kids like 2 or 3 full bags of Airheads or candy bars or whatever. This person loves Halloween. I don't know what their thing is, but man, that guy's always got it like...
the anti-bank.
Loaded up. So like he's got giant drums in his front door and...
Sounds like your neighborhood's not good enough for you. It sounds like you said, we gotta go transfer portal on Halloween. We gotta transfer to a neighborhood that's gonna give our kids the best candy, Halloween.
Relax. They've been going with it since they were friends in kindergarten. So it has been our Halloween thing for 4 years.
Let me just tell you, I think your neighborhood, wherever you live, is good enough for your trick-or-treating. You know, I don't care where your neighborhood is perfectly fine for trick-or-treating.
I'll tell you this much. I will walk up the cul-de-sac. We're at the very bottom of a cul-de-sac. So it doesn't feel like living in a cul-de-sac, but we actually are in one. But we'll try to walk up there. He was looking for a leaf. My son wanted like a particularly colored leaf. He was decorating his room with them. And so we were walking up the street, and this guy who's got a giant animatronic skeleton up near the top of the street was like, hey, we'll be out on Halloween. He really wants us to come trick-or-treat.
Okay.
So I got to go by that guy's house for at the very least. I got to go by that guy's house.
You're saying he has like one of the huge
The 20-foot tall animatronic
skeletons.
Those
things are expensive too.
Oh, yeah. He's like, we'll be out here. I was like, okay, man, we'll come by your house.
Take care of your neighbor, you know?
I said I'll go. I'll go to that guy's house, and then, yeah, we're out.
All right. Let's... the text line commenting about neighborhoods now. Let's talk some Chiefs football. Maybe we'll get back to the Halloween conversation a little bit later on in the show. We asked Danen about special teams and what he's seeing. And of course, as he said, Jack Cochran definitely has a target on his back right now. He's been holding far too much, or at least caught holding far too much. And the special teams on the return game, it's kind of interesting. They're in kick returns, they're 25th in kick return yards. Punt-wise, 8.5 yards per punt return. Nico Armijo is 38th in return yards. And that's, if you're wondering, the same reaction I had. It's 38 because there's some teams that have had multiple returners. That's why it's not out of 32. It seems like there's a penalty on every kickoff is the frustration. And we've kind of had this philosophy on punt returns, which is usually, hey, just secure the catch, please. Get the ball to Patrick Mahomes. This offense can roll. And that's kind of how I'm at on the punt returns. Kick returns, of course, it's a little different game now with the dynamic kickoff return. You just, against Buffalo, for example, on Sunday, you can't afford to have a return and then a big holding call. All of a sudden, while this offense, we all agree, is playing well, you can't be consistently starting on your own 10 because of a kickoff return penalty.
Sure. I don't want to leave Harrison Butker out of this conversation. He's got to be a part of it, because the truth is the offense is top 5 in the NFL. The defense is top 5 in the NFL. Points per game-wise, they are humming along in both categories. The special teams unit has been the weakest link of this team by a pretty considerable margin. One is Jack Cochran doesn't know how to not hold. He did get an interception at the end of game in garbage time. Kudos to him.
Mm-hmm.
But Remigio's not exactly killing it in the return game either. Now, I understand some of this is like when things are getting called back in holding. They're 25th in return yards. They're 8.5 yards per punt return. That's 38th is what Remigio ranks amongst guys, as you had mentioned. And the issue is that, and it hasn't been a problem the last 2 weeks because he hasn't had to do it. Butker's been a huge problem this year in which he kept missing points and extra points and kicks. He still ranks in the bottom third of extra points and field goals made.
I hope the break here the last couple of weeks has helped him reset.
Maybe he's okay. But
I don't know if this is our sarcastic text or serious. Someone says, Butker's been damn good for the last 3 or 4 games. He hasn't kicked in 2 games, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
That doesn't mean he hasn't been good, though. Like, I think that there's...
If you're going to say, he's been damn good the last... That's acting like he's been making 50-yard field goals. He hasn't made the mistakes, which
exactly,
is great.
Which I think
How about
is,
that?
I guess I can...
damn Drew, good. I got to be honest. Saying he's been damn good the last 4 weeks when he's only kicked 2 field goals is like saying, you know, he's been damn good, you know, like, Wanya Morris has been damn good these last... He hasn't been on the field! What do you mean? He hasn't even been available to screw it up!
I think those are two totally different things.
He's kicked 2 field goals! They're both inside of 40 yards.
I like it that for his own mental side of the game, there hasn't been mistakes. Hopefully that has allowed him to reset. But we don't need to act like he's just fixed all his problems. He hadn't been kicking any field goals, really.
I think
I like that there hasn't been the missed extra points. No question. No question about that.
To be clear, both kicks were between 30 and 39 yards. So they were chip shots. And again, I think Gold's right.
He's been what you expect him to be.
He's not kicking the ball out of bounds anymore. He's been awesome.
I'll be honest. I will say, it's still good. Like, I think that they babied him in the week before when they went for a couple. Like, I think that there was, like, that 56-yarder before that sometimes Andy would go for. And maybe it's just the more aggressiveness thing. It's fine. I don't think it's bad that he's making his kicks. But I'm not going to just be, like, problem solved because I've seen him kick 2 kicks in the last 4 weeks that were 36 and 33 yards long. I'm not going to get like carried away and be like, problem solved. He has made 7 of his 8. He's had 16 extra point attempts during the time and only missed 1. Also good. He still ranks 3rd to last in extra point percentage this year and like 25th in field goal percentage this year. So do I want him to like continue this path? Yeah, of course. But he's making all of extra points. His kickoffs aren't going out of bounds. For the 2 times he's been asked to make a kick, he's making it. But I think we can all still agree the special teams as a whole, and that includes Butker and includes the kick returns and it includes the punt returns, has been a weak area this year. For the very few weak areas I would say this team has, the special teams are something we have to watch over the next month, month and a half, 2 months to make sure that no problems arise. That's all. Yeah, I just didn't want to make it seem like Butker's been crushing it. Like he's just
But if he missed one of those kicks, you guys would be burying him to the depths of the earth, it feels like. But the fact that he's doing his job, he's doing his job. Like, I don't know
and
what
that's
you consider
and that's why
to be
I
good
said
versus...
It, and that's why I said
he's
it's...
He's doing his job.
And that's why I said, Drew, it's good he hasn't been making mistakes. I was pointing out someone saying, all caps, he's been damn good, guys. What are you... Again, there's a difference between saying... No, he's been... Oh, my gosh.
He's been as good as you expect him to be, which is the best kicker in the NFL because he hasn't missed anything.
What
you expect.
True. Part of his job is kickoffs. Okay? No out-of-bounds the last couple weeks. Great. Correct. Part of his job is extra points the last 3 weeks. Hasn't missed any. Great.
Correct.
Part of his job is also... Oh, he's missed one. Part of his job is also making field goals, right? And not nobody's judging him by if he can make 30-yard field goals, Drew.
But I think that
so he's done it, like I guess there's this balance of you can say we're complaining. I'm just saying. So let me just ask you this: you're now at the point you're good to go. You're not worried at all anymore.
I didn't say I'm not worried because the life of a kicker. I think you should always be worried. If one kicker misses one kick, it's not the world is over because he missed a 40-yard. If I don't know who the most accurate kicker is, if he shanks a kick and hits it off the post from 35 yards, it doesn't mean the world's over.
No,
for
nobody's
that kicker.
Saying Harrison
but
Butker's
I feel
not
like
allowed
that's
to.
That's where we're at with Harrison. Where no. if he makes one mistake, it's no. Get rid of him. It is he's the worst kicker. I'm going to bring up the numbers of him being the worst in the league. Where
because he was. Yeah,
I pointed out
he was.
Four
I understand that,
years.
But him making it.
He's allowed to miss a kick still. Nobody's saying that. But also,
are we sure?
Yes,
it
I am
seems
sure.
Like he's allowed, people are at
he's
now.
Allowed to miss a kick, Drew, because he's now been playing better. But also, if over the next 5 weeks he misses three field goals, you're damn right it's going to be a topic again.
I just feel like he's on the brink, and I don't know if it's just the reaction to him missing kicks, but it feels like people are on the brink of if he misses one single solitary kick, I can't do it anymore. Where if he's making them, then, well, that's what he's supposed to do, and we're not...
Yeah, like, that's fine. Look,
it feels
I hope
like
the
it's a bury him if he's bad and say nothing if he's good situation.
Yeah, again, people are misunderstanding. Text line, you can't be down on him if he hasn't had the opportunity. Once again...
We're not down on
said
him.
Said he's doing his job now, and you guys want us to throw... almost cursed. A parade, okay? So that is... That's where we're at on it. And, yeah, the reality is... And it's funny, for those... It's mixed bag on the text line. For those that are texting in saying you're fine, I'll just say, let's all be honest with ourselves, and I hope it doesn't come down to this, but on Sunday, if he has to make a 51-yard field goal and misses, plenty of you will be absolutely acting like nothing is or not acting like everything is just fine either. And so, Drew, that is what you're describing is what it is like to be. You're saying it's not fair. That's the life of a kicker. If you miss three field goals in a game, people are going to be critical. If you don't, people are going to say, "Hey, nice work," but nobody's throwing a parade for you. That's the life of a kicker.
I also think
he was the
out.
Worst kicker in football the first 6 weeks. You're acting like he missed one kick and we said he sucks.
I've pointed out, and I think that this is why when we started bringing up Butker, it wasn't just about this year. It's that. If you looked at a four-year average, he was a below-average kicker on average over the 4 years. And Golden and I talked about it at that time. The thing that he gets to put his feather in his cap is he was a below-average regular season kicker over the last 4 years. He's an all-timer in the playoffs, and I'm not trying to take that away
from
him.
And ultimately, that's how he will be judged today, right?
But he is 20.
Or this year. Yeah. If he goes and he makes kicks in the playoffs, and then nobody's going to give a damn what happens in the regular season. We also have said that before.
I'm just saying I don't know if the problems are solved. Like, when we're talking special teams problems, I'm saying that could still be a problem. I'm not saying it is, but it could still be a problem. He's still 24th in field goal percentage, third to worst in extra point percentage. So I'd like to see him make more than 235-yard kicks before I determine... Problem solved. That's all.
Yeah, we'll move on from the kicking. But again,
the Cochran and the other parts an issue too.
Yeah, I will move on from the kick. I'll say again, people picking and choosing what they want to hear. Someone says you guys praise Kelce for turning his season around. How come you can't praise Butker? Again, not listening to the conversation. All right, let's move on to something else here in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. In particular, the offense and where things are at for them historically. The offense right now, points per game the last 3 weeks would put them. Third in the National Football League. On the season, they're still seventh because we all know the first couple weeks of the season, you know, they scored 21 points, they scored 17, and then they scored 22 against the New York Giants. The question is this the best offense since? And I think there's only 1 year when the year's over that we'll be comping it to, and it's 2018. It's not going to surpass 2018 in the historically great season.
But it can surpass or be
21
on
par and 22.
Yeah, that's what I think. Where he finished with 40 passing touchdowns and 5,000 yards equivalent, essentially. Between 4,700 and 5,000 yards in those 2 years, and between 37 and 40 passing touchdowns. You realize that's what he's pacing for, right? The only difference is, Gold, I guess this is the question you have to ask yourself. Is it more dangerous, and this is 21, this doesn't apply to 22 because by then Tyreek was gone. Are you a more dangerous offense with two elite-level weapons, Travis Kelce in his prime and Tyreek Hill in his prime, and then just a bunch of Jags after that? I was like Byron Pringle. As the third leading receiver, or D-Rob, or whoever, as the third leading receiver after that, or Darrell Williams as your top back if you go back to 2022. Like, when you look at it there, is that more dangerous, or if you can go five guys deep? I think that's really the question you're asking yourself. They're not as top-heavy gold, but are you more dangerous with more weapons or less weapons, at least on that end? You know, that's it. And I think that by the time we're done, they're going to average 29 points a game, which is the same as 2021 or 2022. The difference in 2018, they scored 34 points a game or something. Slightly different energy, I would say. I guess I don't view it or fear it in that same way. Do you think in the end we will think it's better than 21 and 2020?
At the end of the season, I will. But also, a lot of people are going to wait until the Super Bowl happens, and if they get there and win, because that we're trying to talk about an offensive conversation only, but I think it'll blend into, do they win the Super Bowl? And people will say, well, you can't say it's a better offense if they didn't win the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, that's, so we're trying to limit it into just an offensive conversation, but I think most people will judge it as if it's a conversation about overall success of the whole year. I mean, if the team ends up getting eliminated earlier in the postseason than they have in 7 years, they don't make an AFC title game, or 9 years, whatever, don't make an AFC title game, then nobody's going to want to hear that it was the best offense since 21.
I guess, but like, but it's that, so funny the way we talk about 2018. They didn't win the title that year.
I understand. But
now, people, that was an all-time offense.
At the time, and it's one where it was historically great, and the Chiefs hadn't won a Super Bowl in the era yet. And so now the bar and the barometer standard for everything is so different.
No, that's fair. I mean, the standard is different than it was before. I'm not going to try to argue that. It's just when I start looking at the, and if you look at the numbers on paper gold, it is kind of comparable to those years. Like, look at, I just like to point out, like, 2022, right? We remember the offense was fun, and the Chiefs were scoring 30 points a game, and Mahomes led the league with 5,250 yards passing, led the league with 41 touchdowns, led the league in, I don't know, every statistical category imaginable. Where does it comp? Okay, so their top two leading wide receivers were Travis Kelce and Juju Smith-Schuster, by the way, at 933 yards. MVS was third. I'm like, I kind of like that. It was rookie year Isaiah Pacheco, who was the leading back. All right, I probably liked rookie year Isaiah Pacheco the best of the Pachecos, but it's probably at least comparable on that end. When you start going through it, you're like, no, I mean, it. On paper, it's got more talent. Like, it should be a better offense over the course of the season. Like, and I'm not saying Justin Watson and Mecole Hardman and MVS didn't have their role, but MVS, who did finish with 687 yards that year, I don't know, where would he be? Like, where would 28-year-old MVS in 2022, if we had that version, where would he be in the depth chart? He'd be behind Rashee Rice, behind Xavier Worthy, like, he'd be behind Travis Kelce, so maybe fourth, maybe lower. It just depends on where you kind of rank it. I think they're just as good in the roughly running area, maybe a little bit worse, definitively deeper in there. And you're getting a Patrick Mahomes who I think knows the league even better than he did now. So, yeah, I do think it's one of the better offenses they've had in a long time. So I'm excited to see the way it goes the rest of the way. Do you think they'll maintain the streak? I saw 28 points, five games in a row, 28 points or more, five games in a row, is the longest active streak the NFL.
If they do, they're winning this game, undoubtedly. How about that? Like, I don't know if they have to get to that mark, but if the Chiefs extend the current streak that you're referencing, then the Chiefs are winning this football game on Sunday, given how the Chiefs defense has been performing. Like, do you feel good about that?
Yeah, I think so. God, the Bills. They're the only team that just like could throw a haymaker and randomly score 30 against Kansas City. There aren't very many teams right now in the league that I think would drop 30 on Kansas City. But if Josh Allen just gets hot, or they can't guard him in the, you know, they can't guard him in the running game, which has certainly been a problem for them, or James Cook goes off. Mm-hmm. But if you told me the Chiefs score 28, I would tell you I think there's like an 80% win probability for Kansas City.
Yeah.
Not 100%, but I'd probably put in that like 80, 85% win probability that they would get the win. Just knowing how their defense is playing and the things they've been doing pretty consistently. Yeah, I would say that that's probably where I'd put it.
Just based off the defense. And
how many offense? How about this? I'd ask you best offense since when. Is there any offense you think is better than Kansas City's actively in the NFL?
I mean, you do as much as
I know there's teams who are scoring more.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I doubt the Colts, I mean, I think the Colts has to be the answer. I mean, at some point, just from a, if we're just talking offense and what they're doing, you know, I don't believe in them actually getting to the Super Bowl or anything.
Sure. But we're just talking offense.
The numbers, they're way out in front of everybody scoring. So, I mean, I would have to say Indianapolis.
I agree.
That would just be being a hater at this point if I said, no, it's still bad. Like, do I think that
I can make an argument teams are Dallas.
More, do I think people are more fearful of the Chiefs than the Colts? Yeah, but that's not the question you asked. You know, you asked, is there an offense right now that is better? And I think, believe it or not, a Daniel Jones-led offense through the first 8 weeks of the season, now nine, yeah, they have been better. But I think if it's still a question, which matters is game-winning drive, 2 minutes to go, Chiefs need seven or Daniel Jones needs seven with the exact same offense. They're going up against the same opponent, let's say. Let's say the Chiefs are facing the Eagles defense with 2 minutes to go, or the Broncos defense with two yeah. minutes to go, got to score. And by the way, Daniel Jones did beat the Broncos, but Chiefs need 2 minutes, 7 points, 2 minutes. Daniel Jones needs 7 points, 2 minutes. Who do I trust more and which offense? Well, obviously yeah. I'm picking the Chiefs. So that's where I'm at.
I think Indy is definitely a better offense, and we can't argue that until proven otherwise. I think I could make an argument for Dallas. They are loaded offensively.
They just got shut down by Denver.
So I don't know. Well, Chiefs haven't played Denver yet, so I don't know what they'll do defensively against them. The teams that score more points than them per game right now in the NFL are Green Bay, Buffalo, Detroit, Dallas, and Indy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over the last, as you mentioned, four games, since they've got like Rashee Rice back, it's not that many teams. Or since they got Worthy back, really, it's not that many teams. It's not four. It's not five, six teams then. It is significantly less, obviously, in that department. But Indy is one of them. Indy is doing like greatest show on turf stuff. I don't want to ignore... Jonathan Taylor has like 2,000 yards and like 40,000 touchdowns.
He's
so like,
awesome. I still just the schedule thing. The schedule thing is tough for me. That's all. And they're gonna have a chance to prove us all wrong one way or the other, or whoever side you're on, or right, depending on what side you're on. Like you would say, oh, they're playing the Steelers, great defense, but the Steelers defense is not that good. I don't think this is a huge defensive test for the Colts this week. And then they get the Falcons. Then it's Kansas City. And then it's the Texans, who have a very good defense, although they already played the Texans, didn't they, earlier this season? And
yeah.
Did they play?
No,
they
haven't
played. So they have the Texans defense, who's one of the top defenses in football.
We'll learn a lot more. That's admittedly, I know we only got a minute here, but that's admittedly one of the issues I'm having with figuring out Buffalo. I don't respect any of their wins. Their wins are against the Jets, Miami, New Orleans, and Carolina. Those are four of the top seven picks probably in the NFL draft right now when the season all ends. And their only other win is against Baltimore in week one with Lamar Jackson, mm-hmm. and they scored 41, so I'll give them some credit there. But like, their schedule's so sad. I don't know where to take Buffalo seriously.
Yeah, fair point from the 816 on the text line. Said, you know, the last two games, the Chiefs have let off the gas too. So as far as the points per game, would the gap be as big if all of a sudden Kansas City didn't pull Mahomes in the fourth quarter against the Raiders and all that?
Sure.
All right, up next, let's get to what's trending. We'll talk more about Mahomes versus Josh Allen and all 32 in the NFL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring business page on r.com for more information.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.